Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah.
Time to start hour two of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got some entertainment news coming up in a little bit. Plenty more where that came from. Some good stories of the day, and we'll get into our schedule. But it is a Monday in the 10 o'clock hour. We know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. We want to thank the Hotel Mead for sponsoring our segment. The Hotel Mead is the place to go for more than just a good night stay. Their two restaurants are places to gather for a fun night out. Check out all that it has to offer on their website, www.hotelmead.com. The weather has turned and the flakes have been flying. There is a chill in the air and it's the time of year that has me wanting to just curl up on the couch, watch some TV, and enjoy some good comfort food.
Now, does that include a roaring fire, mulled wine, and fuzzy slippers?
I'm guessing you're talking about something other than just mac and cheese, huh?
Yes. Actually, I'm talking about something with low effort but high reward. It's slow cooker season, and I came across an article that highlights some healthy recipes that would be perfect for these colder nights. The first recipe is courtesy of Amy Stevenson from Food Network Kitchen. It is a slow cooker cider chicken and apples recipe.
Sounds very fall-y.
Doesn't it?
With the apples in there, yeah.
I warmed up when you said that.
Yeah. I know. That using something from the season, it's a great recipe. Now, for this, you will need a 6-quart slow cooker. You'll also need a few ingredients that might be either a little new to you or don't just have around your pantry. So one of the ingredients are leeks. So if you're unfamiliar with that, with their long leaves and cylindrical shape, leeks look like a giant scallion, AKA a green onion.
Right.
But they are similar. That's where that similarity ends. They are not really a green onion. Scallions are tender and mild when raw and have thin tubular leaves like other onions. Leeks, however, are thick with flat leaves and dense layers and have strong flavors. They're also fibrous, which means they require cooking or very fine chopping to tame their texture and pungency. All right.
Not to throw a monkey wrench into this or anything, but when you sent this over, I read it and then I'm like, I don't know what that is. So I looked it up and everything. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like popular that a lot of us have eaten you think we might have had? We've tried this before, maybe didn't know or something, Beth.
Not necessarily with leeks.
Yeah,
they are a good substitute, or they're usually in stews and things like that, but you very seldom will eat a leek just on its own or say, oh, that was a leek that I just ate.
Right.
Apparently, in gumbo, it can sometimes be thrown in there to help mix it up a little bit. But I thought it was interesting. That's a cool one.
It's used in a number of Asian cultures. I know the leeks are used quite a bit in Japan for things. And there, again, even though they're used more there than here, it's more still of an acquired taste.
It really
leeks are one of those things that a lot of people, either you like them or you don't, kind of thing.
It's one of the things I love about this segment, learning about that kind of thing, new ingredients we could possibly use and
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Right. And with the apples in there, you can balance out the acidity of the apple with the leek, and then you can break down the leek with the acidity of the apple. So it's a good combination there. Usually you use leeks with something, not just kind of as the featured ingredient.
Right.
Another thing that you might want to get that you might not have used before are fennel bulbs and fronds.
Okay.
So fennel is a member of the carrot family, though it is not a root vegetable. The base of its long stalks weave together to form thick, crisp bulb and that grows above the ground.
Mm.
Above the bulb, at the tip of the stalks, it has light, feathery leaves that resemble dill.
Mm.
So when it goes to seed, fennel also produces small yellow flowers among the leaves. Every part is edible from the bulb to the flowers, and it can be eaten raw or cooked.
Wow.
In fact, there are some fast food pizza chains that use fennel seeds in their crusts.
I was going to say, I've heard is fennel seeds. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you could eat the entire plant.
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yes. So, and we'll talk about how to use both the fennel bulb and the fronds because you'd need both of them. for this recipe. It sounds great. It really, it sounds like it's more complicated than it is, and it might take a little bit more time for the prep, but then you throw it in the slow cooker. So if you do all of your prep either the night before or in the morning, by the time you get home, you're going to have a great dinner waiting for you. So you want to heat 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil in a large skillet over medium heat. Put 2 pounds boneless, skinless chicken thighs that you've trimmed the excess fat on, and you've cut them into thirds, and you're going to place all of those in a large bowl. Sprinkle it with 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of dried dill, 1 teaspoon paprika. I can say that this early in the morning. 1/2 teaspoon salt and several grinds of pepper, and toss well to coat evenly. So you're flouring basically your chicken to be able to fry it a little bit there. So when the oil is hot, add the chicken in batches to cook, stirring occasionally until browned all over. And that's going to take about 3 minutes per batch. Then you're going to transfer it when it's done in the skillet right into that slow cooker. Add about 1 cup low sodium chicken broth, 1/2 cup of all natural apple cider, 3 leeks, white and light green parts only. So with the leek, you don't want to have the root part of it in there, and you don't want the actual very end of the tip. So just the white and the green parts. Okay. You are going to half and slice 1 inch thick that leek that you have. You're going to add 2 golden delicious apples peeled and cut into large chunks, 2 dried bay leaves, 1 medium fennel bulb, quartered, cored, and thickly sliced. So that's how you're going to use that fennel bulb, and that's the white part at the bottom. And then also add 1 teaspoon salt to the slow cooker. You're going to add all of that into the slow cooker with the chicken, cover, and cook on low for 5 hours.
Okay.
After that 5 hours, you're going to turn the slow cooker to high and stir in 1/4 cup heavy cream, 2 tablespoons whole grain mustard, 2 tablespoons freshly chopped parsley, and 1/4 cup chopped fennel fronds. So those fronds are the feathery, dill-like green leaves at the top of the fennel plant. Mm-hmm. You've reserved those from before when you've used the fennel bulb. So you're going to use the whole thing of the fennel. You're also going to add some apples in there. You know, the apples are in there. And those apples are going to help break down into a sauce with that heavy cream that you've just added in there. You're going to stir all of that and stir in 2 cups extra wide egg noodles. And then you're going to cover it again, cook on high until those noodles are al dente. And that's going to take about 7 minutes. You remove the bay leaves. You don't want to eat bay
leaves. Don't eat bay leaves.
And serve immediately.
Wow, that's a really interesting. And this is one of the cool things about having a slow cooker, I think, is that you can have like a tougher vegetable like a leek or like fennel, that kind of stuff. Letting it cook over a long period of time, it helps like soften it up and make
it
and release
down.
And breaks
it
down.
Breaks
so
down
it's not,
those fibers.
So, because I know a lot of people, what they've done when they have, you know, those tougher vegetables, they don't cook it right. And then they're like, it's like trying to chew on cardboard or something. Well, you gotta make sure you cook it for long enough. So it's easier, more palatable for the taste.
There is, I don't know if this happens to people or not, but there may be no phrase that makes me more nostalgic than al dente. I will go my whole life and love hearing that and be immediately brought back to being like 8 years old and hearing my nana explain what that means. To the teeth, Jimmy, to the teeth. Oh, yeah, such a good phrase.
Very nice.
And slow cooker recipes are good exercises in patience.
You're
not going to be able to eat what you're preparing right away. No. So it's one of those things to help you understand good things come to those who wait.
In some ways, it just tastes better that way.
It does. Mm-hmm. You know,
delayed gratification makes it even better, right?
Absolutely. You know what's coming, and then you just can't wait to have that first bite. Well, did you know that you can also use your slow cooker for more than just soups and main dishes? I found some great dessert recipes on allrecipes.com that sound delectable.
Okay, now I'm paying attention. Right.
The first is a warm berry compote. So you're going to stir 6 cups of frozen mixed berries, 1/2 cup white sugar, 1/4 cup of orange juice, and 1 1/2 teaspoons finely grated orange zest together in a slow cooker. Cover, cook on high until bubbling, which is going to take about 1.5 hours.
Okay.
Then you're going to stir in 2 tablespoons in a separate little mixing cup 2 tablespoons cornstarch and 2 tablespoons water until that cornstarch is fully dissolved. And then you're going to stir that into the berry mixture, cover again, and cook until thickened, about 5 to 10 minutes. Serve warm or at room temperature. Believe it or not, it tastes great either over or with ice cream.
Oh, compotes are always excellent with ice cream. Yeah.
Now, I know what a compote is, Beth, but Seth doesn't. So for Seth, what is a compote?
It's basically a thicker sauce. So when you make a compote, you don't completely break down the berry that you're using. There's still evidence and pieces of that berry in there. And it's a thicker thing. So think what you would put over, say, French toast. You know, you can do the raw berries or you can do a compote on it. It tastes great with pancakes. I mean, it's just that great sweetener sauce that you want to put over things.
And then basically the cornstarch is what solidifies it a little bit to make it more usable, so it's not quite so
juicy. I
got to
say, when I looked it up, that was almost word for word. That was an incredible – that was very well done, Beth. That was really – that was
right on it.
When I looked up, that was better than I
– Thank you. Another dessert that I found in here that kind of goes along with the theme that we had last week with pumpkins. Mm-hmm. It's a maple pumpkin pudding.
Nice.
So you coat the bowl of a slow cooker with a nonstick cooking spray. Then you're going to combine 1 15-ounce can of pumpkin puree. Again, that's the pure pumpkin, not the pumpkin pie filling.
Right.
12 fluid ounce can of evaporated milk, 3/4 cup white sugar, 1/2 cup of baking mix, think Bisquick, something like that, 1/2 cup of maple syrup, 2 eggs beaten, 2 tablespoons melted butter, and 2.5 teaspoons pumpkin pie spice in a large bowl. You're going to mix that all together, and then you're going to put that into the slow cooker. Mm-hmm. Cover and cook on low until an instant read thermometer reads 160 degrees Fahrenheit. That's going to take about 6 to 7 hours. And then you're going to stir in 2 teaspoons vanilla extract and serve it warm.
And this is old school pudding. Mm-hmm. This is not like the stuff, you know, you mix on the stovetop. This is like a dessert, a pudding, like the English bread pudding, something like that. It's actually more like a pastry, right?
Yeah.
I've never been big on puddings. I need that. I need to try
it sound
that.
Delicious?
Oh man, that sounds good.
If you're looking for an alternative for pumpkin pie, if you're not a crust kind of person, this could be a great alternative.
There's nothing. One of my favorite things is a bread pudding. Classic English bread pudding is excellent, and this sounds like it's even better with the pumpkin in it. Oh my god!
And it gives me a chance to mention, especially during this holiday season, if you have pie crusts that you don't want, I will take them.
Okay,
I will. Good I will take them off your hands, everybody.
And for Bisquick, that is basically just a pre-mixed baking.
Like all-purpose baking stuff, right?
Right. So if you don't want to go out and buy Bisquick, you can go online and find out, okay, what's the ratio that I need?
Right.
It's your flour, it's your baking powder, it's
baking soda,
It's all salt, of that already pre-mixed for you. But you can certainly make your own if you don't want to go out and buy just a box of Bisquick for one recipe.
Right. Makes sense.
So these are just a few of the slow cooker recipes, and slow cookers can be your go-to tool for a great meal or dessert on a cold winter's day.
Yes,
it is
absolutely.
I think, underutilized tool in our kitchen sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to find some great recipes. Just go on your favorite search engine, type in slow cooker meals. You can designate healthy. You can designate if you want dessert, appetizer, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you will find a slew of recipes there for you.
Right.
So once again, we'd like to thank the Hotel Mead for sponsoring this segment. They have been a great partner in bringing the culinary world to our audience. So we want to can't encourage you enough to check out all that they have to offer. For more information, again, head to their website, hotelmead.com. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Oh, man. I'm feeling all warm.
Warm and fuzzy?
Warm and fuzzy on the inside. Yes. Warm, makes me think of this stuff. Yeah.
Warm and hungry.
And hungry.
Yes. I really want to try a couple of those there and everything. Beth, before I let you go, is our Dancing with the Stars correspondent and everything. Did you see our guy Tom is coming back?
Yes, I did. Cool. I am so excited about tomorrow night's episode because it's the 20th anniversary. Not only are they bringing back Tom Bergeron, they're bringing back several of the original pros
that
have left the season. Some of the winners are coming back in to do trio dances. So it's going to be a good episode. If you've never watched Dancing with the Stars, go ahead and do it. They are having record numbers of votes this season.
Oh, really?
Every episode, they are breaking their voting record because more and more people are discovering the show.
Yeah, yeah. My dad is one of them. I think my dad will be watching tomorrow.
See, there you go.
Very nice.
We will take a quick time out. We'll be listening every Monday in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of The Kitchen's Open. A shout out to Beth and our friends at the Hotel Meet.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth, Laura, James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Appreciate the time. Big shout out to Beth and the Hotel Mead and the Kitchen's Open. Great segment. Great segment. That was a lot of fun. We dive into entertainment news now, and we begin with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions that happened last night.
Yeah!
Did not get to catch any of this. I saw a quick snippet of Jack White's acceptance speech. That was about all I saw.
Cool.
Bad Company, The White Stripes, Outkast, Cyndi Lauper, Soundgarden, and more were officially inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last night. Some of the highlights: Cyndi Lauper held a moment of silence during her performance to honor the LGBTQ community.
Love her.
Very cool.
She was also joined by Avril Lavigne, Salt-N-Pepa, and Ray, and Chaperone inducted her.
Oh, I love that Chaperone inducted Cyndi Lauper into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Man, that makes a lot of sense.
That makes me so happy.
I have not seen a ton of Chaperone. I've seen a handful of interviews with her and stuff, but I don't want to act like I've seen a ton from her. I've never seen her nervous. Mm-hmm. Like she was, it was very sweet. It was a very sweet induction, a little bit that I got to see of it.
Cool.
And speaking of Salt-N-Pepa, they went into the Rock and Roll Hall for musical influence and actually brought up their lawsuit against Universal Music in their speech.
It
got quiet during that moment because you could tell there was a bunch of record producers in the studio.
Good for them, yeah.
Soundgarden was inducted by Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You have to look that up. I know I will be. He was very good friends with Chris Cornell, so there was a tie-in. Okay.
That makes sense, honestly.
The rest of the band performed with help from Brandi Carlile, which was pretty cool to see.
Wow.
And Cornell's daughter, Toni, did Fell on Black Days.
She sang it?
I've got it saved in my bookmarks. I just haven't been able to watch it yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Work myself up to watching that too.
Let's see. Oh, and Jack White accepted the honor for the White Stripes. Mm-hmm. Meg was not there. In the article, they kind of make fun of Meg about this. I don't think that's fair. Well, they haven't done their homework. Meg White has not been in the public eye pretty much for a long time for a lot of reasons. Yeah. One of them in particular, she's never been uncomfortable in the public eye.
Yes.
It only got worse for her when sex tapes and different things came out and people tried to basically shred her as a human being, like a lot of people do to women in the music industry.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Nope.
I don't blame her.
Nope.
It's not her. And it needs to be said because everybody seems to, whenever she comes up and gets brought up, she's a good drummer.
She was a good drummer.
Like, it makes sense to people.
Why would Jack White have a bad musician in his... That does not make any sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
It makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And, like... Anyone who has listened to anything Jack White has made outside of the White Stripes, and I'm including even the Rockin' Tours here, they're all collaborative efforts. Mm-hmm. You can hear both Jack White and whoever he's working with, and that includes the White Stripes. Meg is part of what made the White Stripes the White Stripes,
right.
And you cannot take that away from her.
Otherwise, it would just been Jack White. It would just been him on his own.
It would have just been another Jack White album,
which
is fine, but it's not the White Stripes.
Right.
He paid a lot of tribute to her during the speech, mentioning her quite a bit and everything. Yeah. They're still very close. And named a ton of artists who influenced him, from Loretta Lynn to Ritchie Blackmore to the Misfits. Was a really nice referencing of him, I thought, that was well done.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone he doesn't like?
He's
got a very eclectic taste.
Olivia Rodrigo and Feist performed We're Going to Be Friends. 21 Pilots did Seven Nation Army. I will not be listening to that.
Honestly, I don't know that I want to listen to either of those.
They were inducted, White Stripes were inducted by Iggy Pop.
Which is great.
Who not only wore a shirt, but a jacket on top of it nonetheless.
How old is he? Is he in his 70s
now? It doesn't
now?
Matter. He's Iggy Pop.
It's still,
he's timeless.
There's decorum.
his excitement in the way he, like, Iggy Pop should probably introduce everybody. Like, it was fantastic. It was nice. Fantastic.
I love that man.
Andre 3000 and Big Boy both showed up for the Outkast induction. Andre did not perform, but Big Boy did. He was joined by Doja Cat and Tyler, the Creator, and a couple of others. They were inducted by Donald Glover.
Oh, perfect.
That's cool.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Bad Company was inducted by Mick Fleetwood.
Okay.
Paul Rogers wasn't able to attend, so he went with a video message.
That was pretty nice.
He Paul performed Rogers. Alongside Brian Adams, Nancy Wilson, Joe Perry, Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes. What a lineup.
That's a nice
Honestly,
lineup.
Honestly, I'd rather watch that band than Bad Company.
And
yeah, me too.
Right? That band is way better than Bad
Nancy
Company.
Nancy Wilson's playing guitar. I'm on board.
David Letterman inducted his friend Warren Zevon, who, like Salt-N-Pepa, was enshrined as a musical influence. Dave brought along a guitar Warren gave him before he passed. The Killers did a performance of Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Nice. Okay, that one I'm going to have to hear.
I have to hear that.
I bet you that's a good version of that.
I bet it is. They were also tributes to Sly Stone and Brian Wilson, who both passed away. Mm-hmm. Joe Cocker's a posthumous induction capped off the night, so the finale could be get by with a little help from my friends, maybe.
Fair.
That might have been part of the reason.
Which is awesome, which is classic.
Mm-hmm. More power to him. Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
It's honestly my favorite thing about the whole rock and roll induction is the end, when all the people, all the artists come out and everything.
It's just because it's so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. There's some great moments in history with that one.
Yeah.
It's cool. And Miss Piggy is finally getting her moment in the spotlight. Everyone's favorite Muppet Diva will be getting her own solo movie.
Nice. Long overdue.
All right.
It is still in the early stages at Disney, but Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone will be producing it.
Oh, good.
So, I mean,
what?
Dang.
What?
Good.
Yeah. Holy cow.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, part of the reason it got to this point is because of those two in particular, apparently.
That sounds right.
This article says they'll probably be starring in it. There's no word that they will or they won't. They may just be attaching their name to it as producers.
Right, yeah.
If you haven't been paying attention, I don't know as much about Jennifer Lawrence, although I enjoy her as an actor and I really enjoy her interviews.
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence has no filter.
It's beautiful.
She's always embarrassed. But Emma Stone is one of my favorites, and I've been following her for a long time, and she has been doing a lot more production where she's just producing something. Mm-hmm. She's not in it.
That's cool.
So, I mean, there's no giving.
She's becoming a whole force.
At the same time, the way these two feel about this character would not be shocking if they're in it.
No, well, not at all.
At least some cameos, if nothing else.
I'm expecting a couple of cameos. Yeah. I'm not expecting any starring roles from either of them. It's Miss Piggy's movie. Let Miss Piggy have her movie. And I hope that that's the attitude they're bringing to their production.
Jennifer Lawrence made slip this out in an interview she did on Bowen Yang's podcast. And I just mentioned that because that's Jennifer Lawrence. She doesn't, like, there's a reason she's never been in a Marvel movie.
They won't let her in the Marvel
universe.
Well, no, she did.
She did, technically. She did.
Well, she was with the X-Men, but not.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah, and then she put her foot in her mouth and wasn't allowed to ever do another one.
I really enjoy her as a person. Like, she's a person. And here's another interesting one as we're getting ready to wrap up our entertainment here. We'll get into the Grammy nominations tomorrow. We'll need a little time for that one.
Okay,
so we'll get into that tomorrow.
Sure.
We've got time.
Johnny Depp has landed his biggest gig since his legal battle. It's a big note for him. He'll start in a new version of the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol.
That's right.
This one is called Ebenezer, A Christmas Carol, and it's being directed by Ty West, who did horror trilogies and a couple of others, but were very popular and did well in the box office. This is the second version of A Christmas Carol that's been announced this year. Robert Eggers is making one, too. He's the elevated guy who did The Witch, The Lighthouse, Nosferatu, The Northman.
Okay.
So Johnny's going to be playing Ebenezer Scrooge in this one movie. Robert Eggers movie, who else would he have be Ebenezer Scrooge but William Dafoe?
That's the one I'm watching.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I am not watching anything more that Johnny Depp makes. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Interesting to see these. Now, we're in the middle of this right now with the Frankenstein series, as there's a new Frankenstein movie that Guillermo del Toro did on Netflix, and then there's another Frankenstein movie called The Bride coming out with Christian Bale as Frankenstein and all
that.
Right.
So, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Wow.
And this all goes back to something Seth brought up years and years ago, IP.
Yep.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the old Frankenstein's monster has to lumber around, you know, every 25 years or so, you know, because it's, well, he's free, you know, you don't have to pay anything for it. So,
right.
You know, it's like, it's to get, use the oldies, you know, the ones you don't have to pay any royalties for.
Well, and it's nice to do those sometimes because you have a good amount of creative expression.
Yeah, if you can, you
in
can.
It. Like, it's the same with like Shakespeare, right? You've got a lot of room for creative expression in it.
Right.
I see the urge to take things and make them darker. That's something that we've been doing a lot of in the last 15 years and everything.
Yeah, it's a depressing time.
A Christmas Carol is already pretty dark to me. Right? I don't know that you really need to really, like...
Yeah, but I will also watch anything with Willem Dafoe in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Willem Dafoe as Ebenezer Scrooge is pretty good casting.
I'm going to watch it. I'm sorry.
I mean, he's got his face is perfect for it.
His face is perfect.
If you look at the description of Scrooge in the book and the story, it's right there. It's perfect.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That might be pretty
good. Also, just a solid face. I like his face.
Might be a good one. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back. And when we get back, we're talking about could your city get the title of America's fourth best city?
Probably not.
Coming up on The Morning Show.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your scratch bags on.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Laura, Seth, James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call quick. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
You were talking about songs you would like to...
We wish didn't exist. Yeah, we sure were. Which one you got?
The one song I would like to see removed from everybody's library of records is that Barking Dog song, The Jingle Bells.
Oh,
good choice.
I hate that song.
Yes.
You know
yes.
what? I'll give you that one.
I'm with you, sir.
That's a good answer.
I'm with you on this one. Good choice. I forgot all about that song. Good choice.
Is there anyone that likes that? I'd be shocked.
I doubt that dogs like that.
I was going to say, sure, I don't think dogs like that. Yeah. Great choice, sir. Really good choice. Thank you for the call. You have a good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Great choice. Oh, yeah.
That's a good answer.
Especially with Christmas coming up, yeah.
I didn't want to say it because I can't remember who the artist is, but I was trying to think of modern songs so I didn't sound so old. I forgot all about it, but it's a... So you had a bad day.
Was that Gavin DeGraw?
I don't know. It wasn't Gavin DeGraw.
The name of the song is Bad Day.
Oh, dear God, I can't handle that song. Okay. I could be having the greatest day of my life and that song comes out and it ruins it.
Bad Day.
Bad Day.
It actually creates bad days.
Yes. Oh, my God.
For me, he didn't know that when he recorded it.
That song is a horror movie to me.
Sure.
That is 3 minutes of
so
torture.
So you had a bad day.
Oh, God.
Okay, but I also have one since we were doing Christmas. Kill me if you want, but I hate Rockin' Around the Clock.
Oh, I can see
but
that.
But I also hate the Peggy Lee one, the Christmas song that Peggy Lee did.
All I Want for Christmas?
No.
She did several.
It'll come to you.
We're going to keep this.
Brenda Lee, by the way.
That's the one.
That's who did Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree with her, but hers.
Yes, okay.
Hers. Also, Wonderful Christmas Time. I'm shocked that wasn't on the list.
Yeah, I thought that would be.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Paul McCartney. I hate Wonderful Christmas Time.
You don't have to love Paul McCartney.
No, but I do.
We will keep this topic going forever. You guys go ahead anytime. It's
very random.
I will come up with new songs daily. Don't doubt me.
2 years from now, somebody calls up and they want to give us a song, they delete, go right ahead.
Yes. It'll be me.
We will never get rid of this topic. The general consensus is that America's top three cities are New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago.
Sure. Okay.
And that's backed up by population. And it's kind of interesting to think of how long that has been the case. Those three are the big three and stuff.
The big metro centers of the
absolutely.
Country.
I would, even being, you know, for that being my, you know, roots and everything, I would say that there are times in our history that Houston has, you know, competed with Chicago in population, but it's never really topped it.
I was going to say Dallas.
I'm sure that has gotten close in the list, too. So people online are debating which city should get the title of America's fourth best city.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it should be best. I think it should be biggest city, I think is a much better. Yeah, I think is a better way to put it. Best, that's all. I would hope that everybody out there has their own answer for that.
Right.
Whatever it might be. This article completely misses the one that should be on this list, Sheboygan. Sheboygan is not on this list, and that is just heartbreaking.
He just needed to say it.
It's because of the names. I mean, what the best named cities? That would be fun. Yeah.
Oshawabanon.
Yeah. Oh, it's another good choice. Another good one. So if you go by population alone, the next four are Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, and San Antonio. There are other things to consider, though. Washington, D.C. is the nation's capital and the center of politics and government.
Yeah, right?
San Francisco is the unofficial capital of technology and a multicultural hub.
Okay.
And A-Town, Atlanta, is the home to the world's busiest airport and has a thriving cultural scene that's been around our whole lifetimes.
That's a solid argument.
Miami is the second most visited city by overseas travelers in the world and America's gateway to Latin America. Which is only becoming more and more important. And then, of course, you got Boston, which is one of the country's oldest cities.
Yeah, that's fine.
And is the home to many universities, museums, and entertainment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, real quick, I do want to say any of these are a fine option.
Sure.
I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
No.
I think this can be a really fun one if you don't take any personal pride in it or anything like that.
I'm going to throw one caveat in there because I don't think Washington, D.C., I mean, it's a city, but it's at some point, and it's going to happen, it is going to be a state.
Right.
So I'm going to remove it from there just because of that fact.
I was going to say something similar.
right.
It's its own category.
It is because of what it is. But the other ones there, I didn't realize how big San Antonio was it's on there.
I didn't either.
And if for me, if I had to pick a city, I've never been to the state of Texas. But if I had to pick a city I want to see, probably on top of the list, maybe 1-2 with Austin, would be San Antonio.
Same. Austin's on my list, too.
Because it's of all those cities, I mean, I know they have it's the one that feels the most historic. Maybe it's because the Alamo is there and all these kinds of things.
Well, and I've been to San Antonio.
But there's something about that I think San Antonio should get, maybe even more than Houston or Dallas or anything, because it's got that feel to it, whatever it is. And it's a very large city, which, again, I didn't know that. So.
Well, and if you've ever been to the Riverwalk, you'll remember it. It's beautiful.
That's what I've been hearing from people. It's an amazing thing. Beautiful. So, yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking of the map of the United States, and I'm looking at those three cities and the locations of it, and there's a gap, right? And so in my head, Denver happened.
Oh, I see. For each time zone.
Right.
Oh, hey, that's a good idea. Denver's good.
I was thinking something similar with southern states being represented, so that's what got me thinking of Houston and Dallas and San Antonio and some of that. But that's a great reference.
I would say somewhere in Texas should be four, but I also think Denver would be a solid option. I don't think any more of the ones on the East Coast are at New York, Chicago, or LA level, if I'm being honest. I really don't.
If I could take a moment to insult all of our Jersey and Boston listeners.
Yeah, all what, two of them?
New York covers so much of the East Coast.
Sorry, guys.
It really does. Yep. And that's...
Is it like Connecticut, just a part of New York City?
Listen, all the New Jersey and New York listeners, just look at us as a flyover state. So, that's true. Yeah.
If you really want to get ambitious, you can just do the megalopolis starting up in Boston, going down to D.C. because that's almost one continuous metro area.
You build your megalopolis and then we'll put it on the list.
Well,
okay,
it's almost there already.
There.
They're all connected by a train system. So.
Nashville. I think Nashville should be in the running for this. I'm not saying it should be, but it should be in the running.
You're
for
all
it
wrong. It has to be Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota.
Something I want to say real quick is that anytime you get a city of any size, it's going to have cultural things that are really cool there. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the bigger cities have more because, they're bigger, and that kind of thing. But even I was joking about Fargo, but Fargo has some great cultural stuff there too.
Sure.
And it's not the big city. It's not even close to some of the bigger cities, but it's a large metro area in a specific place where there's not a lot of that stuff around where it's located. It has all those cultural things that you're coming to expect. So something we do have to keep that in mind, too.
Population-wise, it may not make the running of this list, but if you bring up Milwaukee, almost anybody in this country knows Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right. Sure,
you're right. You're right.
We could also megalopolis Milwaukee and Chicago, so let's not go crazy.
Let's do all megalopolises now. That's what I was talking about.
The Milwaukee-Madison-Chicago complex.
It was just a couple of things that go into play that Chicago did not end up in Wisconsin. Yeah. If you look at how the states were shaped and everything,
yeah. it's just
a couple of things here and there that made that happen.
In fact, there's a book that said how the states got their shapes. Well, it's actually a pretty good book.
There was actually a whole series on the History Channel, and I watched it many times.
Very cool.
One of the greatest books you will ever read, everybody, how the states got their shape. It's a small
fascinating
book. It's a quick read, yeah. And my God, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, same with the show. All the episodes are short.
Whatever, and a great host too. What's his name? Hosted it.
I don't remember.
The guy
remember.
Who did Cash Cap.
It was that guy. Yeah. Benjamin something.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I caught a couple of those episodes. They were fun.
Yeah.
He's good. No, it's not the guy that did Cash Cap. It was an actor who did it. He was great. He was good.
But anyway, he was very good.
Yeah, I think. Now I want to find if I can watch those shows again.
yeah, I don't know where you can watch History Channel actual history shows anymore.
No way to look it up. No,
Prime,
we have no.
I think?
We will take any of your answers on this one, everybody. 715-424-2600. I think that I see some people mentioning Seattle, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Detroit, San Diego, Las Vegas also makes the list of possible contenders. But I think the fun thing about this is that it'll always be interchanging. I think that as our populations change and move around and everything, you're going to see this. We saw this with the invention and the biggest invention to change all of politics with the air conditioner. The air conditioner changed politics more than anything else in this country.
Yes.
It made it so that warmer states, people wanted to live in them, which rose up their population, which rose up their delegates, and et cetera, et cetera.
Without air conditioning, there's no Vegas.
Yep.
It's in the middle of a desert.
Or L.A.
The air conditioner. You can think that.
You can watch How the States Got Their Shapes on Amazon Prime. And I'm looking at his face, and I can't figure out his name.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Brian Unger. The host was Brian Unger. Yeah.
You said that, though, didn't you? I thought you said that.
No. There you go. That's who he is.
We will take a quick time out, but before we do, want to remind everybody that we've got our WFHR cookbook coming up.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
We are right around the corner for wrapping up, taking in recipes. That's going to be wrapping up on the 14th, I believe.
Yeah, and I need to get my recipe in that book. That's you right, guys should, too. You can text it using the Civic Media app. Just take a picture of your recipe and send it on into us, or you can email it at info@wfhr.com, or you can just stop in and Pam will take a copy of it.
However you
got, or I'll take a picture and text it using the Civic Media app. Why not?
Laura's starting to sound like a seal.
However you got to do it, get it to us, all you seals out there. We especially you Lucille's.
Clap your flippers together.
Get them to us. Get us those recipes. You can find out more by going to WFHR.com. Be sure to bookmark the page, everybody, and keep in mind you can also reach us at WIRI through that webpage as well.
It's true. There's
right
a tab.
There together.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. James, Seth, Laura, hanging out with you for a couple of more minutes. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Nothing but great civic media programming coming up for you throughout the day. Got some good stories of the day and some great local events going on, but we dive into our schedule first. And be sure to check out the Rapids Report today, everybody. Got a great one lined up for you.
We do.
We have two wonderful episodes that'll be premiering on the WFHR at WFHR.com a little bit later today. And one of those conversations is going to involve our friends at the South Oak County YMCA.
It's true.
We rescheduled
with them. They're going to be coming on.
Big thank you to, of course, Crockett Septic sponsoring the Rapids Report, and also Tri-City Services giving us a chance to talk to the South Oak County YMCA.
Yeah, they sponsor the YMCA episodes.
We'll also be talking to our great friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Service Officer.
Yeah, everyone knows Rock Larson. Mm-hmm.
Love talking to Rock. Mm-hmm. And what a perfect day to be talking to Rock on the Marine's birthday and all that.
That's it's almost cool.
Veterans
like
Day
I
tomorrow.
Planned it.
Yeah.
Cool. That is pretty cool.
I do have one thing I wanted to throw out there, James, a veteran related.
Good.
Just because I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow. So I wanted to put this out there that I was reading an article about so when Veterans Day comes around, a lot of people like to donate money to veterans organizations. And there's a lot of veterans organizations out there, some of them
less good
than others. All I want to do is just highlight three that have been vetted No pun intended.
Wow.
And that are transparent. They use most of their money they get for what they're there for. Mm-hmm. I just want to throw these three out there. So if you're looking to donate some money,
yeah.
If it's not to a local group, which of course we encourage
that's
as well.
That's the priority.
If you want some of the bigger ones. So the three big ones that I found are the highest rated ones. The Gary Sinise Foundation
absolutely
is one. And they don't just do veteran stuff. They do all kinds of stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a really remarkable organization.
I've seen that organization and work with my own eyes. Some of the greatest work I've seen.
Yeah. Very good. Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund is another one. They serve military personnel suffering from traumatic brain injury and mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress, which we know is very important. And the other one is Semper Fi and America's Fund. Mm-hmm. They do, of course, you've probably heard of them because they mostly with wounded, critically ill, and other service members, veterans, and military families. So those are three top-notch, you know your money is going to the veterans. So that's very important, and I think those are ones that you can feel good about donating to. So,
should we start with Veterans Day events then? All right. So there will be a Veterans Day event today at the VFW Post 2534. They are having their spaghetti dinner. It is all you can eat, and veterans eat free at 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So be sure to get out there. It's good spaghetti every time. They do it every year. It's an excellent event.
Fantastic.
It's not worth missing. And then tomorrow, there will be three different Veterans Day ceremony events happening in town. At 11 a.m., the Veterans Day ceremony at Veterans Park in downtown Rapids. At 1 p.m., the Legacy Stone dedication at Assumption High School on Chestnut Street in Rapids. And then at 3 p.m., the Veterans Day observance with rededication of the Veterans Memorial at Mid-State Technical College in Rapids as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, both of you. Mm-hmm. And this Wednesday, our friends over at American Heroes Cafe will be up and running. Be sure to join them every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, although this month and next month, they only have one episode of these. Be sure to stop up by at Crossview Church, 7:30 to 9:30. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Spread the word about this one so they all those individuals know that American Heroes Cafe is going on this Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30, over at Crossview Church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Also, I had a couple of other things we wanted to mention coming up this week.
Yeah. Seth, you got some over Thursday, we've got an open house to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Park Place Adult Day Services. Very cool. This is going to happen from 1 to 3 at mm-hmm. their where they're located at 220 3rd Avenue South, Suite 2. That's, of course, in the Centralia Center. Mm-hmm. A couple of notes here. They opened, obviously, in 1985. Park Place is an independent, nonprofit agency serving Wood and surrounding counties. Mm-hmm. Their program is certified by the state of Wisconsin and is a member of WADS. SA, the Wisconsin Adult Day Service Association, and because of Veterans Day, we do want to remind everyone, they are the only day service approved for VA benefits in Wood and surrounding counties, so something to keep in mind mm-hmm. as well, and you can celebrate them. It's open to the public and free from 1 to 3 on Thursday to celebrate the Park Place Adult Day Services.
Yeah, and then I have the Sister Act from the Assumption Theatricals group. They will be having their show at Assumption High School on Thursday at 7 o'clock with the gala dinner opening night. They will also be having a performance on Friday at 7, Saturday at 1, and then Saturday also at 7 for closing night. You can get your tickets by visiting AssumptionCatholicSchools.org or by calling 715-422-0910.
And some live music coming up on the McMillan Concert Series, everyone, on Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Mr. Brian Drow will be here.
Ooh.
And it's going to be, they always bring in such great guests mm-hmm. for these free concerts. Just remember, it's going to be in the Fine Arts Center of the McMillan Library. And like I said, it's all free, and you get a special edition button each time you go to one of these as well.
Collect them all.
Gotta get them all.
Shout out to our friends at McMillan Library mm-hmm. doing some great work over
Always.
There. And Brian, this should be a great concert. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And again, just another reminder that we, of course, are collecting recipes for our WFHR cookbook. Be sure to get those recipes to us at mm-hmm. WFHR.com. And while you are there, sign up for the newsletter, everybody.
Yeah.
Some great reporting going on in there. It's your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news.
And Mel's been knocking it out of the park lately.
Good stuff.
Our news director, Melissa Kay, has been knocking it out of the park lately. I was being too informal.
You're being too casual. Too familiar.
Too familiar with Melissa Kay,
Laura.
Not me.
Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Laura Kay Berg the fourth. Yes.
WFHR.com. That was great.
That's it. Mel and I are hyphenating our names. for no reason whatsoever.
Quick reminder as well, on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, from 4 to 5 today, we'll be speaking sport on Playmakers. Join Michael and I as we welcome all of your calls and takes. You can call up and join us during the hour with your sports takes and feelings. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that hour.
Yeah.
A woman in Pittsburgh was distraught after a trick-or-treater apparently went home with her diamond engagement ring on Halloween night.
Whoops.
That was not supposed to be in the basket.
It was an accident, of course, but she said she looked everywhere. I had to include that.
Of course.
She said she looked everywhere, and the only possibility was that it slipped off her hand as she was handing out candy. She posted about it on social media and placed calls to the police and local schools. A family saw the story, rummaged through their kids' candy, and found the ring and returned it.
Oh, good for them.
Cool moment there.
Can't eat diamonds anyway. Why would you want? No kid wants a diamond.
No,
over a
it's
piece
not
of candy.
Tasty.
Not at all.
No, if I'm that kid,
cut your teeth.
I'm immediately thinking it's a ring pop and just cutting up my mouth.
I'm not. I would just be so disappointed. I'm like, look at this. Someone gave me a ring. It's a
vaguely shiny ring here.
This isn't candy.
I want chocolate.
Give me chocolate. A teacher at a middle school in Lincolnia, Virginia, has started a cursive club.
Oh, cool. Oh.
It's for students who want to learn and improve the cursive writing skills.
It's an art.
One student said she likes cursive because, quote, you don't pick up the pencil and your hand doesn't really cramp up all the time. I never thought about that.
That's actually, she may be correct on that.
Actually,
interesting.
That's interesting.
I want to study on this. I'm curious now.
Yeah, go write something.
I can't help myself. I almost always write in cursive.
I can't do it anymore. I used to
do calligraphy. It's not the same as cursive.
No.
But like, as someone who knew cursive and also did calligraphy, they're connected. But
Another student is pumped because it's, quote, fraud proof, actually signing a document the way you go, the way you do.
Another good point. Kids are smart, I'm telling
you. But I haven't met an adult yet who doesn't do some kind of combination between print and cursive.
I know. I'm guilty of
that. It's grim. I'm just glad that computers have keyboards.
That's I've written a cursive L in decades.
It's rough.
It's one of those things that I think is, there's a lot of, conversation about cursive or whatever and everything, but I do think that there is the part of it that it can be just fun to do. It can be just fun to learn.
No, and that's the calligraphy element of it, right? Yeah, like, because that's an art, right? That's a hobby. That's a fun thing to do. I could see how cursive could feel the same way.
Sure.
And a man discovered a golden treasure worth $800,000 while digging a swimming pool in his backyard in France. He found 5 gold bars and a bunch of coins buried in plastic bags, and he was allowed to keep it because the cops were unable to determine if it was stolen or not.
Hey honey. Well,
it was stolen.
That pool just paid for itself.
Yes.
Sorry, you couldn't end the show on that joke. I was too early.
If it's 30 seconds from now, we would have been
perfect. I ruined it.
No. I don't know what to do with that. Like, that's a crazy story.
No, that's wild.
You're not usually going to find buried treasure in your digging a pool.
Well, and it's in the middle of France, so it's not like pirates.
If you were
not ocean pirates,
and if you were, would you throw out the design and be like, okay, we're building a different pool now? we're digging a completely different.
It's going to be a lot bigger.
You're upgrading the tile for sure.
It's got to. You got to, right? I that's wild to think of too, because the chances of that stuff not being stolen are pretty unlikely. But the fact that they couldn't trace it means that it was that old.
It's been there for a long time.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you think they're just going to sell the house and buy a new one with a pool?
Moving on up.
Maybe they will.
Oh, yeah, there
buy
you go.
A nice French chateau.
Great show, you two.
You too.
You too.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.